Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. We'll read verses 22 through 26 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. Mark, chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Let's finish on verse 26 together. Ready? But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for our church. Lord, what a wonderful place. What a wonderful place to come and gather as friends and family. We sit around the Word of God and hear it taught and preached through the man of God from directly from heaven, from you. Father, please hover over this place tonight. Lord, use our preacher. I believe a lot of things could be cleared up in the future if we would just listen tonight. Father, please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I have entitled the sermon tonight, We Must Forgive. We Must Forgive. Let me read to you again a part of the passage that you've already read this evening. The Bible says, And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. I think this morning's sermon and this evening's sermon go somewhat hand in hand. As we deal with one another in our church, the topic of this morning was offenses. I think I called this sermon Offenders, the Offended, and Offenses. Well, if we are going to work on not being offenders and not being offended, then there's going to have to be this thing of forgiveness somewhere in our lives and in our church if we plan to have the peace and the joy that we look for as Christians. You see, in a church like ours, we must on purpose work at our attitudes toward one another. Our lives are so interwoven with one another that we must constantly guard our treatment of one another. You see, when I say interwoven, what do I mean? Well, some person here teaches your child in Sunday school. Then you teach their child in King's Kids. Someone is in charge of your child in a children's choir. And then you're in charge of one of their children in a youth department. You see, if we do not on purpose keep our hearts cleansed of the things that destroy relationships, we'll self-destruct. We've got to on purpose watch out for bitterness in our church. We've got to watch out on purpose of offenses in our church and revenge and hurt feelings and our tendency to be critical and judgmental. We've got to do that on purpose. You see, there are some churches, folks, the people show up maybe one time on Sunday morning. They're only there for a social gathering. That's all. They're just trying to impress each other. They're not really serving the Lord Jehovah God. So they show up just that once. But look at us. We're here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Our children attend basically the same school. They're in the same youth department. They work in the same ministries. They go the same activities. We have our conferences. We're together a lot. And you heard me say it this morning, and I'll reiterate it tonight. We're a family. This is the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church family. And as a result of that, we have to be careful of the kinds of things that families would struggle with. And so, we've got to be careful. I'm talking about you have to be careful. I'm talking about I have to be careful. I'm talking about deacons. We have to be careful. And Sunday school teachers and staff members and Sunday school teachers and nursery workers and parents and brand new members and members that have been here for 40 or 50, 60 years. Hey, listen. Anywhere you go, you're going to find injustices. You can't escape unfair treatment. I'm sorry. Everywhere you go in the world, there'll be some unfair treatment here or unfair treatment there. But that's because people are not perfect. As long as human beings are going to run this world or any organization in it, you're going to find flaws. You'll find injustices. But I believe this. I believe you'll find less injustice in the church than anywhere else. Yet, there will be injustices from time to time. I'm not condoning the injustices that might come your way. I'm being honest about their presence. I'm being honest about the possibility of those injustices. But we've got to be willing to overlook and forgive some of those injustices here at the church. We've got to forgive. Nobody survives in a church like ours unless they're willing to forgive. It's just got to happen. Injustices are going to come to you. Hey, injustices are going to come from you. Why? You're as human as the next person. Though you may feel like somehow you've been mistreated this week, if you just give yourself a little while, you'll be the one doing the mistreating next time around. Oh, have I learned that? Have I ever learned the very moment someone is arrogant, thinking that, well, I would never do thus, and so you give them about a year. God will help to humble them because they will be guilty of the very thing that they criticized another about. Oh, I'd be so careful. I'd be so careful. No person who faithfully attends this church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night will get out of it without suffering some injustice this year. I'm promising you all something. And I hate to tell you, but everybody here in the next year, somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to treat you unfairly. Somebody's going to say something they shouldn't have said about you. Guaranteed. You say, well, Brother Owens, don't you want to protect our church's reputation? I'd like to protect our church's spirit by being honest and saying, there's going to be those moments where the weakness is there and it happens. There's no way we can get all this sin out of our lives. That'll happen when we get to glory, and thank God for that. But until then, you and I are going to have to learn how to live with flawed people. I'm not condoning the flaws. I don't think we ought to be. I work very hard to create an attitude and an atmosphere of justice in our church. I want things done right and appropriately, but we will not perfect it. Therefore, you and I will have to learn to live with the imperfections of other human beings. I don't just mean that this next year you will see an injustice. I'm virtually guaranteeing you will experience one. You know what you ought to do? You ought to decide tonight, okay, if I'm treated unjustly, I know how to forgive and I know how to heal and go on. You need to decide that. You know, the people who stand before you and stand before your children and lead you, the ones that lead the most are the ones that stand the chance of being the one that will be guilty of the injustice. That's the way it is. The ones that lead the most, the ones that are up in front of people the most, the ones that are required to make the most decisions, are the ones that are the high risk for causing injustice. I mean, do you realize? I probably, you add my counseling lines, and I have a 30-minute appointment starting at 8 o'clock in the morning and then one at 8:30, and I'm talking about I do it on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays, and I have an appointment at 8 and 8:30 and 9 and 9:30 and 10 and 10:30 and 11 and 11:30. Sometimes there's a break in there, and it's 1 to 1:30 and 1:30 to 2 and 2 to 2:30 and 3 to 3:30 and on. Sometimes all the way into the night. You know something? As much as I stand before you and I preach on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and special meetings that I run meetings, I'm going to guess there's a chance someday you're going to suffer an injustice at my hand. I don't want that. But I'm up in front of people all the time, and I'm doing it, making decisions and teaching, and it's going to happen. But you know something? Anybody that's in front of people making decisions all the time, there's going to be a day when they don't make a decision you think is quite right. There's going to be a day when things don't go quite right. But we as Christians have got to learn to live within a church with other flawed human beings. I'm not Jesus, therefore I'm flawed. You're not Jesus, therefore you're flawed. And we've got to learn to live with each other. We've got to learn it. Let's face it, we're human. And the people that stand before you most are the ones who have the highest potential of hurting someone. Teachers at Martinsburg Christian Academy, the youth director, the principal, myself, Brother Nash dealing with all the special music people, Brother Bajet and the bus ministry, and I could go on. Brother Young and the men's ministry, anybody that helps with the Sunday schools. Listen, you better understand something. Those that are up in front all the time, there's some risk there. There's that risk that they might not handle something exactly right someday, and you could be hurt, and we don't want to do that. Here's the thing I do know about our leadership. The leadership in this church is sincere. They're not perfect. And I know one thing. If somebody hurts you or hurts your child, I'll guarantee you something. They didn't intend to. Where you go wrong is you think, they did that on purpose. No, you make that kind of judgment because you might hurt people on purpose. Your concept of judgment is based on your own behavior or what you would have done in the same situation. But I know the leadership of this church. If I ever thought that there was somebody in leadership in this church that were out to hurt people on purpose, I'd can them. I won't tolerate that kind of stuff. And you're looking at a guy that means that. You say, "Can him? What's that mean?" I'd fire their ever loving self. Well, I don't want people to work that way, but they don't. They're sincere. We will be mistreated from time to time in this life, less in the church than out there in the world, and we will mistreat somebody from time to time. But we must insist of ourselves that we constantly work on bitterness and revenge and hurt feelings. We've got to learn to truly forgive. Now, I want to talk to you about that. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness? What is it? Well, you could say that forgiveness is suffering for another person's wrong. Forgiveness is bearing the penalty of another person's sin. Forgiveness is one choosing to hurt or suffer because of somebody else. Might be that you hurt me, but I'm willing to suffer because of your wrong. Forgiveness is paying the price of evil for the one you forgave. Forgiveness is accepting undeserved suffering. You say, "Brother Owens, they hurt me and I'm suffering." Okay, now forgiveness is saying, and I guess I'm willing to. You say, "Well, I don't think I deserve to suffer." You deserve hell. The only one that didn't deserve to suffer is the one that suffered for you, and that was Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is a vicarious substitutionary suffering for the sins of somebody else. Somebody else has wronged you, and you're willing to suffer. And they were wrong. Boy, that's big league Christianity. Somebody cusses you, and it causes you to suffer, but you don't cuss them back. You don't fight back. You forgive them. The Lord, who is a perfect example of this, is constantly dealing with this thing. You say, with who? He's constantly dealing with you. You constantly hurt the Lord. He does not get bitter with you. You constantly, we all betray Him. But He does not seek revenge. God does not get bitter with you. God does not seek revenge. We hurt God, but God does not hate us. We hurt God, but God does not attack us. What a great God. Look at the example of our Lord. They crucified him. You know the story of the crucifixion? He was falsely accused. They put him through a mock trial where people lied about his integrity and what he was. They plucked out his beard. They spit in his face. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They made him carry a cross of Calvary. They nailed him to that cross through the hands and through the feet. They gave him vinegar and gall to drink and mocked him and stripped him. And what did he say in Luke 23:34? And said, Jesus, Father, forgive them. Big words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Do you understand what just happened? They'd done all that to him. He said, Father, forgive them. They turned right around and hurt him more. Took his garments away and gambled over his garments to make money off of them. But he said, Father, forgive them. You see, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is Jesus Christ suffering because of you. That's a part of forgiveness. And look, I hate to tell you, but if you're going to forgive, you're going to suffer some pain because of somebody else is a part of it. Are you a big enough Christian to do some of that? So I don't want to suffer any pain. I'm sorry. We're just not going to get out of this life without suffering some. That's the way it is. Humans hurt humans. We're not supposed to, but we do. And there's going to be sometimes somebody's going to hurt you, and for you to forgive them is to say, but I suffered. They made me suffer. Okay. You made Jesus suffer. And he forgave you. Secondly, realize God's forgiveness is far greater than ours. Hey, think of all the words for which God has forgiven you. You see, you don't know what they said to me, Brother Owens. There are a lot of words you've said that hurt God. Look, if God can forgive you for the things that you said, why can't you forgive somebody else for what they said against you? Think of all the actions for which God has had to forgive you. It seemed like if God can forgive you for your poor actions, that you could forgive somebody else. He has forgiven you for hurting Him. God has forgiven you. You have hurt God. Can't you please forgive a human being for hurting you? Seems like we could. God has forgiven us for mistreating His children. Every time you hurt a Christian, you're picking on God's kids. Now, if God can forgive you for mistreating His little boys and girls, then you could forgive someone else for mistreating your boy or your girl. You forget. We're all God's children. You talk bad about people that are God's children, and when you did it, you didn't think about it twice. Now, somebody can say something about your boy, and you're irate. You are irate. But what about all of God's kids that you've talked about? But God forgives you when you talk bad about His people. Sure does. There is probably, listen to this, I got to thinking about this, and this is such an awesome thought to me. You know, there's probably one of God's creation in hell today, and you are the one that should have gotten them saved, and you didn't. And God forgives you for sending one of His creation to hell because of your disobedience to the Great Commission. Listen, folks, I'm sure every one of us are responsible for not witnessing to someone that went to hell. But you want to know something? God comes along and says, there's somebody in hell and you're part of the reason, but I forgive you for doing that. Seems like you and I could forgive each other. If God, who is perfect and who has never done you or anyone else wrong, can forgive and forgive you, then why can't we forgive each other? Did you know that if anybody has a right to be bitter, God does. If anybody has the right to be bitter, God does. You and I have no right to be bitter. If anybody has the right to hate human beings, God does. You and I don't have the right to hate human beings. We're sinners also. We've done our fair share of wrong and betrayal and hurt and pain to others. God's never hurt anybody. Mrs. Owens hurt me today. Oh, she hurt me today. We were in the truck on the way home. She said, honey, she said, if nothing else, it was worth coming to church to hear those guys sing the Redneck 12 Days of Christmas. And I'm thinking, I just preached my heart out. And she says, it was worth it just to come to hear those guys sing. Then she realized she might have offended me. And she said, oh, and she, you know, when she patched me on the hand, I about hated it. She said, oh, honey, and the sermon was okay, too. I want you to know publicly tonight, honey, I forgive you for hurting me. I forgive you. Listen, well, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness has an element within it where we suffer because of somebody else. That's what Jesus did. Well, then listen to this. Realize that God set the great example, and His forgiveness is far greater than ours, but He's the example. Number three, and again, I just love what I'm about to say to you. I hope some of you will listen to this. If you could adopt what I'm about to teach you, it could really change your relationships with people. Learn to look at people as broken people, not sinful people. I realize we're all sinners. I'm not skirting the issue. I know that quite well. But you know, when I look at people who criticize or have a tendency to hurt me, I realize they're sinners, but here's what they are. They're broken sinners. If someone criticizes me, I look at them as broken. And I like fixing broken things. I have a curse on me from the lawnmower gods. Now, every lawnmower I get, it barfs up its guts and it just breaks down and it doesn't do its job. But let me tell you something about my lawnmowers. I have not attacked any of my broken lawnmowers yet. Do you know what I do with my broken lawnmowers? I fix them. I want them fixed. You can check. I've got a riding lawnmower. It misbehaves. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Now, I did not take my gasoline and pour it all over the lawnmower and light a match to it. I did not burn my lawnmower at the stake. Why? Because when something's broken, I want to fix it. What do you do with broken things? Do you hate that which is broken? Do you attack that which is broken? You see, when I have people that criticize me or attack me or people that are critical of me, I see them as broken people. Look, something's broken inside there. Say, Brother Owens, how do you tolerate the people that are against you? I just realized the reason they're against me is because something's broken. Something's not right. Something's not healthy there. And just because someone's hurt you does not mean that they're incurable. It might be they're fixable. You say, well, how would I fix them? Might be the way you respond to the fact that they are broken. I get criticized by people. I think they're broken. Now, I don't think it's right that people criticize. I don't think it's right that people seek revenge. But you know what I'd like to do? I would like to seek the healing of the broken. I don't want to cast them aside. Listen, people who hurt people are hurting people. Listen to what I said. People who hurt people are hurting people. See, somebody that launches out and hurts you, you see, the person that hurt you is probably a hurt person. They're broken. People who damage others are people who have been damaged. People who are mean to people have experienced someone being mean to them. People who cause others to suffer are suffering people. I'll guarantee it. If we would stop and realize the people who have hurt us are acting somehow out of hurt. And I am not justifying their behavior. I'm just clarifying the root cause of that behavior. Look, people who misbehave have something broken. Something's not right. And if we could look at people that way, it would keep us from having so much tension, and they don't become our enemies, but suddenly they become a ministry. And that's why the Lord told us to love our enemies. He said, boy, that's hard to do. We're all broken. Every one of us have things wrong with us. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing when we let each other down and when we hurt each other that we could look and say, he's still working on that. And I just happened this time to be the one get hurt, but I think he's working on it. He's trying to fix it. He's broken. And I think I'll love him and I'll pray for him. And I'm not going to get bitter and I'm not going to get angry. And I'm going to hope they have victory. And listen, there are times when I think this. I would rather that individual attack me than attack one of you. You ever feel that way? Look, if they're attacking me, they're leaving somebody else alone. You ever think like that? So, people who cause others to suffer are themselves suffering somehow. Look, when I see someone that is bitter and vicious and nasty, part of my heart says, oh boy, I wonder what's happened to them. Why are they like that? Why are they so negative? Why are they so hateful? Why is their temper so immense? Something must have happened somewhere along the way. I would then like to fix that if I could. And if nothing else, I'd like to respond to it properly. And so, here's what I've said thus far. I said this. I told you what forgiveness is. I said forgiveness is bearing the penalty, maybe of another sin. I said, secondly, realize that God's forgiveness is greater than yours, and His is an example to you. I said, thirdly, look at people as broken, not just as sinful. Number four, and again, if you'll listen to me, if you will just add this to your relationship skills, it will help you. Think of the load that the person carries who has criticized you or been unfair to you or hurt you. Just take a moment, examine their load in life. It could change your attitude about them. I recently had a pastor who was critical of me. Now, I have friends of pastors all over the United States of America. Every once in a while, there'll be a man out there who pastors a church who'll say something about me or be critical of me. There's a man that was critical of me. He sent me a critical letter, didn't feel like I handled something right. Let me tell you something. He was mean to me. Some of the things he said to me were mean. But I love that guy. I still love him. I loved him before he criticized me. And I love him still. You know what I did? I just started thinking about the load that he carries. The load that he carries is being a pastor. See, nobody understands the pressure of pastoring unless they've done it. Here's what I thought. I thought, you know, he probably wrote that nasty letter to me, and probably this week somebody attacked one of his kids in the church. Because they're in the limelight. Everybody watches the pastor's kids so carefully. He probably sat down and wrote that letter and someone had hurt one of his kids that week. And so the guy was a little injured. Or maybe it was the pressure of paying all the church bills. You know how people think, you know, the preacher's a money grabber and just always trying to get money and big deal, you know, making a big deal about the offering. He's probably under a real heavy load trying to pay all the bills of the church and keep his integrity up without being considered a thief and a robber. I thought, well, maybe it's the pressure of hating sin and loving people, and he was just having a rough week. Maybe it was the pressure of Satan's attack on the man of God. Because, see, the average person doesn't understand. Satan viciously attacks a man of God. Viciously and constantly. Constantly there is a warfare that goes on for a preacher to walk into the pulpit and have the right spirit and a good attitude. Can I tell you something that happens? Just about anything I preach, I'm tested on it almost immediately. It's amazing. Unless you're preaching, you don't know what I mean. I will preach on something today and face it within the next week or two to see if I mean it. And I thought, this guy that wrote me a letter, he's under the pressure, he's a pastor. Maybe it was the pressure of being on call 24/7, 365 days out of the year, and you're supposed to have a good attitude all the time. I thought, you know what? He might have wrote me a nasty letter. He might be upset with me, but I know what kind of pressure that guy's under. I love him. Send him a little gift. I'm not going to hold it against him. You say, well, wonder if he asked you to forgive. He didn't ask me to forgive. I already did. You know something that'll change your attitude about people? When things aren't going quite right between you and someone, why don't you stop and look at the load they carry? Stop and think. What prompted them to behave that way towards you? Are things going real tough for them right now? Or is your main concern in life your feelings and what you're going through? Forgiveness is this. Forgiveness is not wanting to remember someone's wrong against you. I don't want to remember when people hurt me. I don't want to remember that. Why would I want to remember that? Why would you attach yourself to hurts in the past and bring it up constantly? I will not lower myself to think that way. I will forgive the human race and I will try again and you'll get a million second chances with me. I'm going to live a depressed life like that. I choose not to, just like you could choose not to. I got a letter from a fellow recently. He said, I'm coming to hear you preach. And I was preaching down south. And he said, I want to come hear you preach. And in the letter it said, and Brother Owens, before I come hear you preach, I want you to forgive me. Years ago, I was very mean to you, and I hurt you, and I did some damage to you. He said, since then, I've realized I was wrong. He said, I've wanted to ask your advice and get your help many times through the years, but I've been too ashamed to come and ask because I knew you were upset with me. He came to see me. He said, listen, I'm sorry. I said, Doc, you've wasted a lot of years being worried about something. Because I don't even remember what you're talking about. He said, but don't you remember when I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't you dare bring up something to me I don't want to remember. I said, it's gone. Don't talk about it. I said, I might get mad at you. Let's just leave it where it's at. I'm looking for reasons to forget the hurt, not looking for reasons to remember the hurt. See, forgiveness looks for reasons why the person that hurt you might have had a bad day. If you just work at it, you can get away from some of that depression and pressure, from misunderstandings. It was said of Abraham Lincoln, his heart had no room for the memory of wrong. You can be glad Jesus is that way. Jesus suffers with amnesia about your wrong. Forgiveness is a good way to be like Jesus. Oh, you like this. I've got some statistics for you here. Statistics say that men lose their temper 6 times more a week than a woman. Well, actually, statistics say this. Let me read it right. Men lose their temper 6 times a week. Women only lose their tempers 3 times a week. Now, some of you would say, well, I challenge that statistic. Or maybe you feel like, well, my wife's, you know, really pushing it up. Get that. Men lose their temper 6 times a week. Women lose their tempers 3 times a week. Now, it looks real good for you ladies, but let me explain the difference. In the statistics I was studying, they said men lose their tempers at circumstances. Women lose their tempers at people. See, a man has a flat tire, he kicks the tire. A woman has a flat tire, she kicks the man. It's got to be his fault. They also said, and this has nothing to do with the sermon, but they also said that bachelors lose their tempers more often than, or bachelors lose their tempers less often than married men. And we all know why there. You know what I'm always doing? I'm always trying to figure out a good reason to forgive someone. Now, I get hit.
And at first, I'm like you. I can get in the flesh, and my ego's damaged, and my pride is damaged, and I might lick my wounds a little bit. But if I come to my senses, I think, let me see if I can examine this thing. I've got to, in my mind and in my heart, reason through this. I've got to get forgiveness started right away. They must have had a hard day. They probably didn't mean it. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. That's how we ought to act. I want to figure out the reason for forgiveness. And if for no other reason, I ought to just obey and forgive. I look at the load they carry. I wonder if they had a hard day. I wonder if someone had hurt them. I wonder how big their burdens are right now. You listen to me. Somebody might have hurt you, but if you would stop and realize what they're going through right now in their life, maybe you would understand why they're a little out of sorts. Anytime I do a funeral, and some of you have heard this, when I do a funeral, often the family will be sitting in here, and I'll pull the family out. They'll go out and stand in the hallway with me, and often that's so that we can close the casket, and the family won't have to watch the casket being closed. And we pull them out there, and I have a word of prayer with them, and then I say this, folks, listen, everybody's hurting right now. Now let's give everybody a free pass this week just in case they get a little tense or their temper flares up, because everybody's under pressure right now. What am I saying? I'm saying when you got a heavy burden, you might hurt somebody. You don't intend to necessarily, but it's so possible. Figure out a reason why you shouldn't seek revenge. Come up with a reason why you shouldn't seek revenge. Come up with a reason why they were having a rough day. We do the exact opposite. Let me give you all the reasons why I ought to get them. Let me give you all the reasons why I ought to be mean to her. Let me give you all the reasons why I ought to be mean to him. Oh, you ought to be saying, let me give you all the reasons why I shouldn't. Let's help one another think of reasons to forgive each other. Don't two people from this church sit around having coffee coming up with all the reasons why you're mad at somebody. Come up with all the reasons why you're going to love that somebody and help that somebody and forgive that somebody and not seek revenge and not be bitter. You know what I do? I spend my week convincing people to forget each other and to overlook hardships that someone's caused. I am virtually, and Brother Brett, I'm going to use this microphone, I am virtually an attitude coach. I'm an attitude coach. Boy, I call people together and say, hey, let's have a good attitude about each other. Hey, we're tired, but let's hang in there and let's forgive. And so you guys know, you were hired to be attitude coaches. Hey, Sunday school teacher, you're an attitude coach. The leadership of this church, what are we doing? We're going around and we're coaches and we're trying to help everybody to have the right attitude. The preacher's not the only one that's supposed to go around promoting forgiveness. And no revenge. And love your enemy. Everybody is to encourage one another to have the right attitude about things. An attitude coach. I'm finished, but let me make one more statement. As you work on this thing called forgiveness, it'd be good if we could all learn to live the golden rule. You've heard of it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's pretty simple. That's a very simple thing. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Now, see, I want forgiven. And I think you want to be forgiven. We want forgiveness. Now, if you want forgiveness, give forgiveness. You know, even the heathen religions of the world practice a form of the golden rule. For instance, Confucius said, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. Hinduism says, this is the sun of duty. Do not unto others which would cause pain if done to you. Buddhism says, hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Judaism says, what is hateful to yourself, do to no other. Even the Greek philosophers have stolen or borrowed from the golden rule. Epictetus said, what thou avoidest suffering thyself, seek not to impose on others. Socrates said, do not do to others what would anger you if done by others to you. Now listen, folks, I want forgiven. So you know what I think I'll do? Brother Bajent, if I hurt you, I want forgiveness. So you know what I think I'll do? If you hurt me, I'm gonna give you forgiveness. Brother Young, I would want your forgiveness if I hurt you. So I think what I'll do is if you hurt me, I'll forgive you. Hey, church member, I'll want your forgiveness someday. So you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll forgive you if you hurt me. The golden rule is not real hard. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And don't do to them what you wouldn't want done to you. Boy, there is so much preaching in that golden rule. It's incredible. You don't want somebody to talk about you badly? Don't you go around talking about others in a bad way. You don't want somebody angry with you? Don't you be angry with somebody. You don't want somebody bitter with you? Don't you be bitter with somebody. The golden rule. So, we just have to forgive. Forgiveness means you may suffer because of somebody else's sin. That's what Jesus did for us. God set the example through Jesus Christ, and He showed us what great forgiveness is. If you would learn to look at people, though they're sinners, look at them as broken sinners. Stop and realize the load they may be carrying, and that might be why they have hurt you, and learn to live by the golden rule. And if we'll do that, you'll have a lot more peace, and you'll, hey, that kind of behavior, if there have been offenses or someone is an offender, you can live with them.